Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did, because we got our good friend Stephen Baum back with us. Steve is an advisor and a coach to CEOs. He's been doing this now for decades. He was a partner with Booz Allen Hamilton a while back. As you know, that's been a while, because they've changed their name a couple of times since then. And he's now an independent practitioner and director of the Point Group Network. He's the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch, and How Ordinary People Have Become Extraordinary Leaders. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, is leadership, which is one of my favorite topics. Stephen Baum, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and especially when we get a chance to talk about leadership. Are you concerned about the leadership landscape that we have across the marketplace today, Stephen?
I am very concerned, particularly as it relates to one of the key traits of really extraordinary leaders, and it has to do with character.
Yeah.
If you have only to look at government, religious organizations, companies, there's just way too many leaders in the news who are not driven by good purpose.
Yeah.
And although the ones in the news are not representative of the thousands and thousands more,
we have to remember. We always have to remind ourselves of that.
It's something that is really problematic.
So maybe it's important to point out or to ask this question, Stephen. Are things, you know, has leadership devolved in the last generation or two, or is it the 24/7 news cycle?
I just think that the incredible pressures that most leaders are under makes the whatever percentage it is. Sam DiPiazza, I interviewed on my leadership interview series. He's the head of PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Yep.
And I asked him what the percentage was. Was it 1% or 10% of the leaders who are breaking the rules and moving too far into the gray area because of the pressures? And his answer was, it's a lot better than it was 10 years ago because of a lot of the new rules and regulations about having to sign financial statements and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near 10%. It's closer to a couple, but that's way too many.
Yeah.
And that's the fact, is when the pressure gets really tough, whatever that small percentages that would think about crossing the line do.
And it's not just crossing the line from a standpoint of, you know, extreme violations, but just, I'm just thinking of just regular mentoring. Are you seeing leaders out there proliferating as mentors to young people? I mean, the young folks today, I think they really need mentors. What do you think?
Well, I'm privileged in the following way. I work with a group of peer chief executives, small business and large business alike, who get together every month and help each other with their problems, with their issues. It's called Vistage International.
Right. Yeah, we know those guys.
And through that lens, I have 16 or 18 meetings with these chief executives every month. And the guys that I work with, the men and women I work with, are seriously into mentoring somebody themselves, having their senior team mentor people. One of them is the senior partner of a financial services firm. He has instituted a mentoring program, which they never had. And a good piece of this goes beyond prospecting and distributed leadership. It goes back to the question we started with, which is doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we're going to, folks, one of the things that Steve and I are going to going to work our way towards is continuing to help you and me understand how to lead our businesses in a challenging economy. But Stephen, I want to thank you for getting these things out on the table. Are you seeing, you know, there's a lot of quarterly pressure in the marketplace these days. The analysts have just put such quarterly, the way our marketplace is developed, it's putting such quarterly pressure on so many companies. I wonder if that's not going to wind up, you know, really hurting the marketplace. What do you think?
Well, nobody has a solution to that yet, except some of the brave souls who are saying, "I'm not giving guidance anymore."
That's the solution. That's the solution I've been screaming about for a couple of years now.
Well, that's
we've got to get people with enough gumption and enough backbone to tell the analysts, you know what? I'll let you know when I got something for you. Otherwise, you know, give it your best shot. We're going to come back and talk about this right after these messages. We've got more to come, folks. All this drops down on top of you and me, small business owners, as we do business with these companies who are driven by the quarter. 20 till, right back with Stephen Baum. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Little John Mellencamp bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and all the things that we do here. And articles, archives, Brain Trust members, newsletter, the blog, and on, lots and lots of stuff. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. That's where you can get small business answers now. Stephen Baum is our guest. Stephen H. Baum, B-A-U-M, along with Dave Conte, have written a book called What Made Jack Welch, Jack Welch, How Ordinary People Become Extraordinary Leaders. And we're talking with Stephen about leadership. And Stephen, we were saying that this quarterly reporting is really getting ridiculous because, folks, that we're talking about for the public companies, these CEOs are so tied to the quarterly conference call, the guidance that they feel compelled to give to analysts every quarter, so that the analysts can then turn around and say and determine what they think the company should be doing, and if the company doesn't match up with what they think, then you know there's heck to pay, right, Stephen?
That's right.
It's creating some pressure on quality leadership, I think, that's hurting the whole marketplace.
Well, if you remember something called the balanced scorecard, mm-hmm. In which you measure your success not just by the quarterly earnings, but you measure yourself also by your employees' well-being,
right,
by your suppliers' and customers' satisfaction.
That stuff's out the window now, isn't it?
What the earnings pressure does is it makes it so paramount, so out of whack with everything else, that the long-term health of the company is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
The other piece of this, Jim, is that everybody's in pain now. There's only a handful of my Vistage members who, because of unusual circumstances, the rising price of high-end metals or something like that, are floating their boats. Everybody else is in pain. And I want to tell you one quick story, because I think a lot of small business owners have this issue, and you alluded to something like this. One of our members was called on the carpet, basically, by the procurement people from a very large customer and said, come and come alone, and come unarmed, as it were. This huge and important client was obviously looking for cost cuts. And they're in pain. The client is in pain. So the supplier is going to get some of that pain.
Yeah.
The question was, how do you go about having that conversation? If that conversation is adversarial and it's like a prize fight, you're probably going to lose.
Right.
And at the end of the conversation, the guidance to this particular small business owner was, you have to find some way to blend. You have to go into this meeting from strength. You have to believe that between you and the procurement people, you will find a solution that works for them and works for you. Maybe you draw the envelope around different service contracts in addition to the ones you have. But you have to go into this understanding they're in pain and you're in pain and see if you can take this out of adversarial and make it something that you and the procurement people are both trying to work out.
I have an idea for how to deal with that, Stephen, but it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of courage. It takes foresight, and it takes it just takes a lot of and some skill. And that is, don't wait till they make the phone call. You make the phone call.
Well, that of course is what some of the other members around the table have done. You know, Jim, I mentioned.
Let's land on that for just a second, folks. What we're talking about is not denying that your customers are having challenges. You can see their challenges when they're paying you 15 days later than they used to, or whatever it might be. When you can read what's going on about them in the trades or whatever, you see that they got challenges. Instead of waiting and don't presume that it's going to cost you, go to them and say, hey guys, I know, you know, things are tough for all of us. What can we do to help you? It might not cost you anything, but if you've made that approach first, Stephen, that's a big deal, isn't it?
And yeah, it is. In fact, a year ago, when our group first started having brainstorming sessions about recession, a number of them actually went and did that. They made a list of all the things they could do in their company to save money. And then one of the people at the table said, how many of you are having that happen to you by your customers? Like slow paying. And all the hands went up around the table. And they said, well, what we ought to do is not just look inside and make these things happen. We ought to go to our best customers, our best clients, and we ought to examine this collaboratively, because that's the ticket of admission to their staying with us over the years.
Now you become a partner, not just a vendor.
That's right. And a number of them did that as much as last September, October. They went to their customers, they went to their suppliers and said, we're in for a bad time. How can we handle this? So that was really important.
Right.
The other piece of this, Jim, I think this is going to sound a little touchy-feely, but I've been through a workshop recently that is one of the best workshops I've ever been through. Even a leader with a lot of experience, when they face a particular challenge, has emotions that well to the surface. And these emotions sometimes make you do something you really wish you hadn't, or stop from doing something you wish you had to. And in this workshop, they call them grabs. You know, somebody comes at you, and your traditional emotion is either to back away, or your traditional emotion is to fight power with power.
Fight or flight.
When you have other alternatives that are better for both of you.
We're going to get you to give us those other alternatives. Happens to us all the time, doesn't it, folks? When people come at you, a customer comes at you with some issue, and you know your reaction. What is your reaction? Is it the right way? We're going to get Stephen to help us with that. On the other side of these messages, it's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's coming back with the students. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Stephen Baum. Stephen H. Baum is the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. And Stephen, tell the audience where they can find your book and where they can find you.
Well, thank you, Jim. My website, StephenHBaumLeadership.com. That's Stephen with a PH, middle initial H, BaumLeadership.com. They can find the book. They can find the Leadership Studio, which is interviews with CEOs, and they can find the blog with posts on current things.
And the last name is B-A-U-M, Baum.
That's right.
All right,
so if you don't use the middle, you get a guitarist in Florida.
And not nearly as handsome either, by the way. Okay, Stephen, you were talking to us about emotions when we went to the break.
Yeah.
The emotional side of leadership.
Well, the men and women around the table in this group that I'm talking about, or for that matter, business owners anywhere, are thought of as being tough, dry, energetic, but somehow experiences in school where you got knocked on your butt. You have these built-in, what they call conditioned tendencies of how you react when somebody comes at you. And these tendencies surface when a tough tough negotiation with a supplier, a tough negotiation with a client, the phone rings and somebody's angry about something or wants something you don't want to give them. It's an initial emotional reaction. And the sooner you can center yourself and put that away and realize what you're feeling in your body and to think about this situation in a more rational fashion, the better off you're going to be.
Well, I've seen this happen many times, and everyone's natural tendency to react negatively to someone coming at you, whether you're a customer or whatever, but then you see, you know, whether cooler heads are capable of prevailing, and a lot of business owners are their own worst enemy because they react to things like that. And it feeds off of itself, and the next thing you know, you got a bad situation with a customer or an employee.
One person in a room with negative emotion can tilt the rest of the room. And if it's the boss, it's worse, but if it's one of the employees, it's not so good. I have one thing, for example, I do with some of my members who are interested in managing their emotional intelligence. We've had a workshop on that. We've had some learnings about how you can change. I ask them to keep 3x5 index cards. Keep one in your pocket. And the next time something happens that gets you really upset and you behave in a way that you hadn't, take 5 minutes sometime later and write down what was the trigger, who triggered it, how did you feel in your body, and where do you think that's coming from, and then throw it in a shoebox or a drawer. And at the end of a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, take a look back at the note cards and see what patterns there are. Are some of these things happening more often? Kinds of situations or with certain people. And then once you're aware of those patterns, you can begin to work on taking them in a much more even-tempered fashion. You can't get them all at once, but you really can work on this.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple technique, but very helpful in understanding when it is you tend to fly off the handle.
Well, who was it said, you know, that was it Churchill who said, you know, leadership is when all about you are losing their heads and you maintain yours or something like that. I've forgotten how he said that, but then someone else came along and said, yeah, but maybe you just don't understand the problem. But seriously, no, I think that's the mark of a leader. The mark of a leader is someone who can rise above the emotions, can rise above the situation that's in front of you, and can deal with it in an intelligent way, in a productive way.
Extraordinary leaders have the ability to show passion, but they also have the ability to be a rock, to be an island of calm in the middle of other people throwing their hands in the air. And when I did the interviews for the book about 36 CEOs, I found that one of the characteristics they had in common, something my elder son called being extrospective. They were able to step back from the furrow they were plowing and look over at the next furrow and say, hey, what's going on? They are able to do what Woody Allen does in his movies when he's a character in the movie and steps out into the audience and looks back at the movie and says to the audience, what's going on here? They're running around with like chickens with no heads. So the ability to have that sort of detachment and resilience at the moment when everybody else is throwing their hands in the air is a big piece of this. The other thing I'll say is I had a great quote.
Stephen, I got to wrap it up. You'll have to hold that quote for another time. This is... StephenHBaumLeadership.com is the website. The book is called What Made Jack Welch. Jack Welch, thanks for being here, Stephen. Good job today,
as always.
Thank
you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.